ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 7 वर्स नंबर 1। This is the fifth, isn't it? Today is the fifth. Fifth of March, 2009, Mahaprabhu Mandir. First thing I want to mention to the devotees is that I just got the email late last night from my godbrother Basu Ghosh, Prabhupada's godbrother, the great Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, has left the planet. In Vishakhapatnam. He was very close to Prabhupada. He was 95. And he left this world. He had some medical problems. I mean, they took him to some hospital in Vishakhapatnam and he left. So they're doing a samadhi ceremony in Puri. He has an ashram near Gundicha called the Chaitanya Chandra Ashram. And they're putting his samadhi there. And Basu Ghosh, my godbrother, who knew Puri Maharaj well, probably he was in Mayapur at the time or something, he went to go attend the samadhi ceremony. He was a very great soul, actually. He was a firecracker. He was very heavy. If you asked a stupid question, he would arm your case, but he would almost... But right after that, he would be in Baba. You know, he would do something in Baba. It was interesting. He was an amazing devotee. Boy, that's really stupid. And then all of a sudden he would start to cry and he would start to become completely internal, you know, like, you know, 10 seconds after that, you know. Bhakti Bhai Puri Maharaj was an amazing Vaishnava, you know. It was very amazing Vaishnava. He helped me out a lot, too. Once we were on the train together and I was critical about my godfather's management policies or something. First of all, I was complaining about how some godbrothers were managing my guru's money, for example. So he asked me, "Are you a gibbic at GBC?" I said, "No." "Then you can only humbly request them." Then he turned his finger on me and said, "But why are you finding fault with devotees? This means you must not be chanting your rounds properly. Look to that." Then afterwards, I was like stunned at that, thinking about it. And he took his, he had some poa that he'd soaked in some water. And evidently when he's traveling, that's what they eat, you know, when they're traveling. And he just took it up to the top berth, and he offered it mentally to his Gurudev, and he took it, to bring a little sugar in or something, you know. And he took it, and he came back down and washed his dibba and puts that down. And then I said, "Puri Maharaj, I thought about it, you're right." And he goes, you know, that's the point. That was 1987 when he gave me that advice. Very amazing. He gave me some nice advice in 2005 and 1985 also. Well, I was just reflecting on that advice. And I was asking Basu Ghosh what the meaning was. And he goes, "It's probably a Subhashita. Atare Niyamanyasti." He said, "At the time of travel, rules and regulations are suspended." Where's that from? "Maybe it's a Subhashita," he said. But when he broke it down in Sanskrit word by word, Monier Williams Dictionary defines atare means when you're sick, when you're incontinent, when you're indisposed. I thought, uh-oh, wait a minute. I don't have an excuse. When you're sick, then your rules and regulations are suspended. You know? Not when you're traveling necessarily. It just means that it's, well, when you're traveling. I'll probably have to do Manasapuja, but, you know, when you're traveling. But otherwise, probably I don't have an excuse. It's like a codicil. They said 4 people are exempt: pregnant women, kids under 8, old men over 88. Everybody else fast? You know, 4 people are exempt, but 99.9% of the people are not exempt. So, yeah. Anyway. Okay, today's shloka. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Yat Atamam Mahabhaga. Chachikir Shitameva Me. Brahma Bhavo Lokapala. Svarvasam Me. Bibikangshita. Synonyms. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
The Supreme Personality of God had said.
Yat.
That which.
Ata.
You spoke.
Mam.
To me. Mahabhaga. O greatly fortunate Uddhava. Tat.
That.
Chikirshitam. The
program.
That I am desiring to execute.
Eva,
certainly. May,
mine.
Brahma,
Lord
Brahma.
Bhava,
Lord Shiva.
Lokapala,
the leaders of all universal planets. Svavasam, abode in Vaikuntha.
May,
my.
Abhikamkshina,
they are desiring.
Translation
and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Srimati Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of God had said, O greatly fortunate Uddhava, you have accurately revealed my desire to withdraw the Yadu dynasty from the earth and return to my own abode in Vaikuntha. Thus, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all other planetary rulers are now praying for me to resume my residence in Vaikuntha. Commentary. Each and every demigod has his particular abode in the heavenly planets within the material universe. Although Lord Vishnu is sometimes counted amongst the demigods, his abode is in Vaikuntha, the spiritual sky. The demigods are universal controllers within the kingdom of Maya, but Vishnu is the Lord of the illusory potency and many other spiritual potencies. His exalted residence does not lie within the kingdom of this of his insignificant maidservant, Maya. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Lord of all lords. The demigods are his separated parts and parcels. Being themselves minor jiva souls, the demigods are under the influence of the potency of Maya. But Lord Vishnu is always the supreme controller of Maya. The Personality of Godhead is the reservoir and root of all existence, and the material world is just a dim reflection of the brilliant scenery of His eternal spiritual abode, where everything is infinitely beautiful and pleasurable. Vishnu is the supreme reality. No living entity could ever be equal to or greater than Him. The Lord exists within His own unique category called Vishnu Tattva, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of the prominent and extraordinary living entities owe their positions and potencies to the Lord. Ultimately, Vishnu Himself is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna, the original source of all Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva expansions. Thus, Lord Krishna is the basis of everything. End of the purport. Vrindavane Ramana Reti Prasitabhumo Tatrabe Krishna Balarama Supada Mule Jnanam Param Paramai Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandastu Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Sangasara Dukkha Jalado Patitasya Kama Krodari Nakrama Kurai Kavali Kritasya Durvajana Nigaritasya Nirashrayasya Chaitanya Chandrama Madehi Padavalambam Jaladara Shashivarno Gopavesha Kishoro Saha Charagana Vrindai Kridamana Vrajesho Natabarajitavesho Anilapitam Varadyo Jagada Jananeheto Ramakrishna Natosmi Vanchakopaturubhyaschakripasanabhevachavaditanam pavanebhyo vishnavebhyo namo nama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Ste kumalajanaya pitasukhseya vasane Rama Krishna bhujanandai paramanandahasane. So, Sri Bhagavan Vacharyat Atha Manga Mahabhaga tatchikirshitam evame brahma bhavo lokapala svarbhasham me abhikanchana. Supreme Personality of God has said, O greatly fortunate Uddhava, you have accurately revealed my desire to withdraw the outer dynasty from the earth and return to my own abode in the Vaikuntha. Thus Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other planetary gurus are now praying for me, my residence in Vaikuntha. The words that I see that are significant here is Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate one. Greatly fortunate one, because he, Uddhava, has developed extraordinary attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You notice that in 10th canto, chapter 23, when the Dvija Brahmanis saw Krishna and Balarama cavorting on the banks of Jamuna in an Ashok grove, and they saw, it's described there, Jamuna Pavani Ashoko Manamala Navapalava Mandite Picharantam Ratam Gopai Sagrajam Dadrasu Sriya. That's what it's described in Shloka 19, 20, 22 describes what they, 19 was their troubles that they went over to get Krishna, then the obstacles they climbed over. 21, 22 is what they saw, and 23 describes, it's like Chitra Jalpa, it describes the beauty of Krishna, what they saw. Then Krishna, it mentions that they took the form of Krishna within their heart, to the camera lenses of their eyes, and they embraced him within the heart very nicely. Thus they gave up their anxiety of him, like an intelligent person gives up the anxiety of false ego by embracing his original consciousness. Beautiful verse. And he said, really beautiful verse. Then, so they gave up their anxiety of separation from Krishna by embracing Krishna within their heart. Very beautiful verse. So then Krishna addressed those Dvija Brahmanis. Svagatam vo Mahabhaga Asyatam Kadavami Kim. Krishna's an amazing gentleman. He's always a gentleman. And he's always, not only is he a gentleman, but he's chaturi, he's very smart. So, great welcome to all you greatly fortunate girls. Svagatam vo Mahabhaga Asyatam. Please sit down. Kadavami Kim. Can I do something for you? What can I do for you? Krishna said to them. So Mahabhaga, they had developed attachment for Krishna. Therefore they were known as Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate. So they had developed great attachment for the Lord. They're already in meditation. They were not as fortunate as the gopis, because when Krishna told them to go back home to be with their husbands again, they said, oh, this is not fair. You know, naivam vibho arhati nrisamsham. This is not fair. You should not ask us to do that, because you promised that those who have surrendered to you, you would give shelter to them. So Krishna, the Dvija Brahmani said the exact same statement and as the gopis. The difference was, Krishna told the Dvija Brahmani, he said, you go ahead and go home. And they did so, ultimately. Whereas the gopis, they were beyond the bodily platform. The Dvija Brahmanis, they still wanted to be Vandevis. They wanted to be demigoddesses in charge of the forest. They had not given up their Brahmani Tvam, the conception that I am a Brahmani. They did not give up that mentality. They did not give up that bodily conception. As a result, Krishna related with them like they were Brahmanis, and told them, go ahead and go home. Your husbands will be happy to take you back. because they will see your love for me, and they will understand it to be extraordinary, and they will accept you back. You don't have to fear that. And they had not transcended the bodily conception of life completely. Therefore, for those that have not transcended the bodily conception of life, which is 99% of us, we have to engage in varnashram dharma in our duties and think of Krishna anyway. And perhaps, if Krishna is merciful, then by the time we give up the body, if we develop attachment for His holy name, then we can achieve the Lord, if the Lord chooses. So, Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate. Uddhava was already greatly attached to the Lord, as described in the third canto, chapter 2, pastimes of the Lord out of Vrindavan, when Uddhava is having katha, samvad, with Vidura. So, Uddhava's position is greatly astounded. He was instructed by the gopis, and Krishna told him in Mathura that he should go and see what the devotees of Vrindavan are doing. So he learned about love of Krishna from the gopis and from Mother Yasoda and Nanda when Uddhava went as a messenger of Krishna. So Uddhava's position is extremely great. Now, another aspect of this Mahabhaga, just like when during Ramananda Samvad in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that Ramananda Rai, by his devotional consciousness, understood that Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not different from Radha and Krishna. And Mahaprabhu said, well, I cannot hide myself from you. Therefore, he manifested himself to please Ramananda. In the same way, the Lord manifests himself before Advaita Acharya as Sadbhuj Murti, and manifests himself before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as Sadbhuj Murti, you know, like that. To fulfill their desire, the Lord manifested himself as they wanted him. That's the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all these devotees are Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate, because by their love for the Supreme Lord always reveals himself to the hearts of those devotees, and he will not hide himself from that devotee. They have captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavata Pradana, in 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 55, it's revert. Pranaya rasanaya dratagni padamasa bhavati bhagavata pradana ukta, that somebody who has chants the holy name with genuine love for the Supreme Lord cannot leave the heart of such a person. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is called Bhagavata Pradana, the best of Bhagavatas, the best of devotees. Mahabhaga, same thing. Bhagavata Pradana and Mahabhaga, the same. Another example that came to mind of that is in Krishna Karnamritam, when Bhava Mangala Stava is saying, when he was chanting kavis, and Gopal was coming to hear him, and when he would ask this boy, who are you? He would say, I am just a coward boy of this village, and my mother saw you here, and so I've come to hear from you. And I brought you something, some milk or something like that. So when, after a while, within the heart, Bhava Mangala started to understand, because he's blind, voluntarily became a blind man. So he didn't know. Then within the heart, Bhava Mangala started to ascertain, who is this coward boy? Which coward boy of this village is this one? Then Krishna is very chatur. He's a very smart fellow. So as soon as he appeared to be discovered, then he said, Baba, I have to go now. My mother is calling me. You know, he wanted to escape. Then Bhava Mangala reached out to grab him. And the boy is so smart that he grabbed him by the hand or something and he slipped out. So Bhava Mangala has a very nice verse there where he said that you can slip out of my hand, that's all right. I'll be impressed when you leave the chambers of my heart. Then I'll be impressed. You know, so he's stating that a devotee who is attached to Krishna, Krishna can never leave the heart. He may externally leave, and that he does all the time. It's actually his company policy. When the gopis were chastising him, they actually were very sarcastic with him. They actually demanded from him, tell us the nature of friendship. So Krishna is very smart. He described their answer, the different kinds of friends are there in this world. Some people are friends when they get friendship. In return, they reciprocate. And others, like parents, they give friendship whether you reciprocate or not. Then there are others that are Atmaramas. They don't require it, so they're indifferent. Whether you give you're their friend or you're not their friend, they're indifferent. So there are three different kinds of friends. So Krishna said, but the main reason why I sometimes don't reciprocate the love of somebody who loves me is that I want to increase that love. They become like a person who had some money and lost it and can think about that lost money again and again. Beautiful verse. In the commentary, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Sararatha Darshani commentary of that verse, he says that Krishna used to come in my heart and speak to me, but he hasn't come lately. So what have I done? So the devotee chastises himself, greatly lamenting, and strives for their purification. And when they do so, Krishna sits back and smiles. Then when the pain of the devotee's separation from Krishna appears to be quite unbearable, and the devotee starts to suffer as a result of that, then out of his sweet compassion, Krishna again reveals himself to the devotee. So the devotee feels pacified that my Lord did not leave me. And then, after that pacification is there, then Krishna leaves. To repeat the cycle. The point is the greed, the intense greed to get Krishna should remain. Krishna never leaves. Because, in one sense, Krishna never leaves the heart of the devotee. He's always there. But perceiving him requires intense greed. Perceiving him within the heart requires intense greed. And that is actually what devotional service is all about. Chatralolyam apimuliyamegalam. The one aspect of bhakti is this intense greed to have it. Now Srimati Radharani says in Ananda Vrindavan Temple, I have not yet memorized that Sanskrit, unfortunately, because I am unfortunate, that it says, I actually have to do it. You know, sometimes you have to have more things to memorize than you actually get done. And that's, some of it you may get done, but you better kick yourself in the pants. Evidently, I haven't kicked myself in the pants enough to get that done. When I get back to Vrindavan, it's going to be in the brain. We'll look it up and I'll get it in there. She says, a devotee's advancement can be compared to the proportion of how much greed they have to obtain Krishna. You may feel unqualified for that greed, that I don't deserve it, you know, like that, natural humility of a devotee. But nevertheless, the greed to get Krishna remains. It has to be a burning thing that I must get, I must achieve somehow or other my Lord's in the relationship that I seek. I must. Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad describes somewhere else in a shloka, 3rd canto, chapter 9, verse 11. Tat tat vibhu pranayase saranugrahaya. That was the last pada of that particular shloka. That I manifest that form which my devotees hanker out of my causeless mercy. Saranugrahaya, spiritual compassion. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, quoting Matsyavatar, was sharing that with me once when I visited his house in Vrindavan. That was the real snack he gave me that day, was that verse. He said, the quality is, he said, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad mentions in his tika that Krishna manifests his form that the devotee is hankering. If you want that form, if you need that form, he'll give that. Whichever way to steal your devotee's heart. The next thing is that he comes in his mahima, shiksha. When you're studying Gita, Bhagavatam, something like that, when you're in trouble, those very same verses will come in your brain to protect you. That's Krishna. Okay? Antaryami is within the heart. So he'll help you within the heart to remember those instructions, to keep your mind Krishna conscious. That he states in 10th chapter of Gita, verse 11. Nashayami atma bhava sto gyanat tipena bhashvata. I'll destroy and illuminate with a shining lamp of knowledge. He'll do it. It's his job. And he'll do it. How will he do it? By Guru Pramanam, by Sadhu Pramanam, by Shastra, mostly Shastra Pramanam and Guru Pramanam and Sadhu Pramanam. Krishna comes in the heart. And if there's nobody there, then he'll come himself in the heart. What is that? That is this intuition. A little voice within. Intuition. How do we know it's not a mental concoction? You compare it with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. If you can find Shastra Pramanam to validate that little voice in the heart, Shastra Pramanam, first business, or Guru Pramanam or Sadhu Pramanam, and the more you can cross-reference it with, then the more your conviction rises that indeed it is Sri Krishna within my heart, or Sri Ji, depends, your Ishtadeva. If Sri Ji is your Ishtadeva, she will come. If Tulsi Rani is your Ishtadeva, she will come. If Krishna and Dauji or whatever are your Ishtadeva, they'll come. If Gauranga is your Ishtadeva, he'll come. The Supreme Lord will come. Now, the Pramanam for that is 1st Canto, chapter 6, verse 33. Narada Muni mentions that in the second pada of that verse, Ahuta eva me sigram, if somebody calls me, meaning Krishna, after achieving a spiritual body fit for his service, I call his names without any agenda, without any motivation. Ahuta, I call him. Eva me sigram, and he'll come now. Tarun, instantly. Eva me sigram. Sigra means now. Darshayam, he'll award me vision. Yati, there, chastity on my heart. He'll come and give me darshan in the heart by chanting his names. So this is not only for Narada, it is for everyone. But what kind of Krishna are we seeing? That depends on the purity. It's described in the Madhurya Kadambani by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad that if a devotee gets to the stage of ruchi, you have so much taste. And the proof that taste is there is when Krishna gives energy. Night and day you can chant. So if you still got to crash out 5-6 hours, we're not on that platform of ruchi. Because if ruchi is there, you'll have so much energy. We don't have full energy all the time. Well, that means proves that we're not yet on that platform of ruchi. At ruchi, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad says, then it's like the transcendental television within the heart that gives you darshan. The picture's a little fuzzy. The picture reflected on the heart is a little fuzzy. You cannot clearly see it. It reminds me that in the old days when you had the black and white TV and you had these antennas on top of the TV, they would call them rabbit ears. You had to move them around until you got that signal better, and then the picture would come a little better on the tube. So it's like that, you know. So you don't see what is going on. But Arashakti, Vishwanath says, and Prabhupada confirms, in Narad Bhakti Sutra, shlokas, I believe it's 2, shloka number 2, Prabhupada comments in the purport there. He did that in 1967. that at Ashakti, the vision is crystal clear. At that stage, you know exactly what your relationship with Krishna is. It's crystal clear. The picture reflected in the heart is crystal clear. Also, at Ashakti, external and internal worlds are quite mixed. So, like described in Chaitanya Bhagavata, Nityananda Prabhu's statements sometimes were not coherent. They were not conjointed. One statement would be not conjointed. But something else would. He would say one sentence and he would say completely something else. Because his mind was somewhere else, you know, like that. Now, the perfection is this, as described here, Mahabhaga, about Uddhava, that Uddhava correctly ascertained that Krishna was leaving. Because Krishna revealed it to him. So, and Krishna then certified that, yes, Uddhava, you understand exactly that what my plan is, and it's going to happen within 10, 11 days. You understood it. Because Krishna doesn't hide from his pure devotees. This is my godbrother Mukunda that gave me this verse from the 3rd century of Krishna Karnamrita. 1st century is the book that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found in Tiruvattara in the Adi Keshava Paramal temple. That's 112 shlokas. Okay? That's the one the Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept and use. There are two other centuries, two other cantos of Bhava Mangala, which is there in South India. There are also neat verses, but, you know, plagiarism is there. Many Bhagavatam shlokas will be there. Anything cool, you know. There's no intellectual property rights in Sanskrit. People would steal it very happily, you know. Because it all belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It goes to His devotees. So they just distribute it. They relish it. They distribute it. So plagiarism is rife, you know, in Sanskrit. You know. So in that shloka, in that canto, I think it was 3333, so I have to dig it out. Esha praha eshu se eshu manye kshanopi ganya purushaya sheshu asvajite yadra kayabi vritya nilasya balasya nijam charitram. In the great wave that is the current of the form of human life, what the best benefit that is to be obtained in the duration of human life is precisely that moment when the relishable activities of a boy of bluish complexion is understandable by virtue of intuition. It means you intuitively, within the heart, you know what Krishna is doing. It's not just simply, you understand through transcendental television, Prabhupada described it as, that what is Krishna doing? If you don't know what Krishna is doing, it means we have no adhikara. We have no qualification right now. Simple. These devotees are Mahabhaga because they knew what is Krishna's plan and what Krishna will do. Because Krishna will not stay away from them. This is what Mahabhaga means. It's Paramahansa. It's Bhagavata Pradhana. That's why I quote in 11.255. Bhagavata Pradhana, they're the best of Bhagavatas. So in Mahabhaga, they're best of Bhagavatas. They're exceptional. Okay? That's why this verse is there. Tat chikirshita meva me. Whatever you've said is exactly right. Krishna is affirming it to Uddhava. Bhuvah bhava lokapala. That Brahma and Shiva and the protectors of the different planets, all the different demigods, Svarbhasam, who reside in the heavenly planets, may abhikankshana, they're desiring. They're desiring for me to resume my residence in Vaikuntha. And also, the Svarbhasam, those who live in the heavenly planets are always hankering after me. When you look at it, the Sanskrit, it's also that. They're also hankering after Krishna and they're also agreeing with whatever Krishna wants. That I can go I can leave and go back to my abode. But it's described later on that when Krishna and Balaram actually gave up the world and was going up, they all were hankering. Man, he's actually rising up in the firmament now. Maybe he's coming to my planet. They're all hoping that he'll come and be with me. You know? And then they're, oh, he's going beyond my planet. Oh. You know? They're all desiring Krishna to come to his planet. But then they saw that Krishna was going far beyond their planet, which meant that their planet is nothing. Ultimately, there's nothing like his own planet, Goloka, you know? So, it just means that even the great demigods and great powerful personalities, they have to continue their hankering. And we, as in the material world, have to continue our hankering. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobaya. Even a little advancement in hankering for Krishna can save one from the greatest type of fear. What is the greatest type of fear? To take birth as an animal. That's what they describe in that Gita. But for pujaris, the greatest type of fear is that you may lose your job. Krishna will demand that you give him to another devotee. It's good when Krishna does that, when you're about ready to die. You worship your Lord till about 2 weeks before you give up your body, and then you hand it to someone else, you know? Like that. Otherwise, you know, to get rid of, if you're not doing your job good enough, then Krishna may give himself to another devotee. That story that Gopalji passed on, how the Babaji was carrying the Lord in a jula, in a bag, and he was carrying the Lord, he was going towards Puri. So, the Lord's devotee was serving, Gadaigiri was serving the Raja as a tax collector. He says, I've been in this village and I collected all the taxes for the king. But what am I doing here? What's keeping me here? And the Lord told that Babaji in the heart that my devotee is in the tax collector office. You should give me to him. So the Babaji thought, this is like manusojati, this is like a mental speculation, you know, that I'm dreaming that I should give my deity to this guy? And that's like hellish. How can I do that? So he didn't do anything. So that night, the Lord came in the dream of the Babaji and said, I ordered you to give me to my devotee in the tax collector office. Then you must do it. And the Lord beat him up. Physically slapped him, beat him up. So while he was slapping the Baba in the dream, the Baba was asking the Lord, how will I recognize this devotee as the devotee that you've chosen? And the Lord replied to him that you will recognize him because as soon as he touches your body, all of the bruises caused from my beatings will be relieved. Now, you must give me to my devotee in the tax collector's office tomorrow. Otherwise, I'll finish you. And I thought, wow, look at this. The Lord is doing gundagiri. You know? The Lord is doing gundagiri that I'll kill you. Unless you follow this order, I'll kill you. The Lord is threatening to kill his devotee. Isn't it astounding? The Lord desired it so strongly. Just to completely, you know, destroy any doubt in the heart of that Babaji that I'm telling you the truth and you better believe me, because if you don't do what I say, I'll kill you. Then the next day, the Babaji went to that tax collector's office and he stated to the devotee that you must be the devotee that my Lord has chosen to worship him. Now this devotee, Gadaigiri, had always hankered in his heart that I'll go to Vrindavan and I'll get a deity. He never had time to go to Vrindavan, so the Lord came to him. So then he thought, I cannot take the property of a Babaji, of a renunciate, because to do so, I'll get sinful reaction. Paplagiya, he thought, I'll get sinful reaction. How can I do it? I'm a householder. I should give to the renunciate, and I should not take from the renunciate. He thought like that. But when he said that, The Babaji became hysterical. He's refusing me now. So if I don't fulfill the Lord's order, then he'll kill me. So he said, no, you don't understand. My Lord told me that if I don't give him to you, then he will finish me off. He'll kill me. So then this Gadaigiri thought, why this Babaji is so hysterical? He should calm down. You know? So he reached out and touched him. My dear sir, please calm down. Right? Don't be so hysterical. Please calm down. And as soon as he touched the Babaji's physical body, all of the wounds caused by the Lord's beating, the bruises, was relieved. So the Babaji had his proof. This is indeed the person that Krishna has chosen. So then he gave him that jula, the bag with the Thakurji. This is how Gopal left and stayed in Gadaigiri, that village now. The deity of Gaur Govinda Maharaj's deity. That, a family, that deity, Gopal. So the Sarupa Lakshana is the Lord stays with his devotee who loves him. And the Lord will give himself to his devotee who loves him. Right. And the Tathasta Lakshana, the subordinate criteria that I understood is, if you don't do your job, you're out of a job. If you don't do your job good, you're out of a job. Therefore the verse is there, another verse in the southern declension of Mukunda Mala. Aparada sahasra sankulam patitanga bhima bhavarna vodare agatim sharanagatim hare kripaya kevalam atmasat kuru. Beautiful verse. Aparada sahasra sankulam. I have performed thousands of offenses. Patitam, and I'm fallen. Bhima bhavarna vodare, into the horrible sufferings of birth and death. The ocean of birth and death. Agatim. And I don't know what is the goal. Sharan agatim. Hare. I'm taking shelter of you, O Lord Hari. Who steals everything. Who takes everything away. Who removes the miseries of his devotees. Kripaya kevalam atma sat kuru. Please be merciful and teach me how to give everything to you. Kevalam atma sat kuru. Please teach me how I can give everything to you. It's an ecstatic verse. Yes. Have to continually pray. So it's very interesting, this verse, Mahabhaga, is very, very interesting in that sense. Yadatha among Mahabhaga. Because he was Mahabhaga, therefore, Krishna revealed in his heart exactly what is his plan. And what was amazing is that because Krishna, Uddhava had a relationship with Krishna, Krishna verbally confirmed, yes, you've got it correct. That's proof that what Uddhava thought, it proves that Uddhava is genuinely a great soul because Krishna confirmed it. Oh, Uddhava, what separation he had from Krishna. When Krishna confirmed this, he probably just tore Uddhava apart. But anyway, the Lord had so many plans and told Uddhava to go to Dwarka and do so many things. And he told him to go to Bhadrik Ashram and he should stay. And after my departure, you should go to Bhadrik Ashram and meditate upon me there. Like that. It's all wonderful. Basically for us. All this Leela is there in Bhagavatam for us, for our purification. Basically. Hare Krishna. Thank you much. Gaur Purnima is coming up. How do we take this in terms of Gaur Purnima? We should develop love for them. We should, by remembering Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda's pastimes, we should develop love for them in the same way. If you think of them, they come running in their heart to pacify us. So it is a very good thing if we remember them. And we can remember them anywhere. And they'll come. Just like yesterday in Harinam. Whenever I go on Harinam Sankirtan, I always think that they're only 100 meters away or 100 feet away. They're dancing and they're lovely yellow and blue cloth. You know? So we're dancing for them, we're singing for them. Let us serve them, let us please them. And if you can, if you try to please them, then to hell with going on the street, you know. You don't pay attention to what's going on the street because we're trying to sing and dance for them, for their pleasure. And they're not waiting for us. They're dancing anyway, you know. Gaur Nittai are dancing because Gaur is captivated by Nittai and Nittai is captivated by Gaur. So whether, you know, you know, Gaur Nittai don't necessarily need us, but we really need them. So we should remember them and think of them. And then everything becomes nice. As it states in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 3, verse 1, that it says there in Sanskrit, Sri Chaitanya Namamitam. He said, if you remember Lord Chaitanya, Vedapadasarabhi, no, that's another verse, said that if you remember Lord Chaitanya, then difficult things become very easy. And if you forget Lord Chaitanya, then easy things become very difficult. So, it's interesting. It's a nice verse. Adi Leela, chapter 3, verse 1. Also, chapter 13 is Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And chapter 14, verse 1 is also very interesting in that connection. So both of them are very interesting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Radha Vallabha ki jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Tulsi Rani ki jai. Questions, comments, sadhu, sadhvis? Questions or comments, sadhus or sadhvis? Mahabhaga. Asyatam karavami guru. Please come and sit here. Can I do anything for you? Krishna is such a pukka gentleman. He's such a nice gentleman. So compassionate, so sweet fellow. He also runs away very much. But that's all right. We can't leave him. The one Brajavasi told me when I asked him what was the definition of Kanu. And he was saying, well, so many people approach me for so many mundane reasons. Finally I can talk about Krishna. How nice. He said, Kan means ocean of happiness. And is a suffix, means he causes us pain. It's like poking you in the side, you know, it causes us pain or difficulty. His happiness means that sometimes he makes us the butt of jokes and laughs at and jokes with us and gives us pain. But he's so sweet we can't give him up. He's just too attractive. We can't give him up even though he gives us trouble sometimes. But we can't give him up. It's like that. That's the nature of Kanu. That's the nature of Kanu. The more we call out the names of the Lord of our Ishtadeva, then eventually he will tell you in the heart. He's so kind. They're so kind. No questions today. No questions today. I'm completely bankrupt. No questions today. What is it? Varada Bhavi, Varada Bhavita Shobine. Varada Bhavita Shobine. Please bestow mercy on us. Shobine. Varada Bhavita. Bhavita means may it become. And Shobita is effulgent, opulent, brilliant, bright. Varada Bhavita Shobine. Please give your bright, shining mercy to us. Varada Bhavita Shobhine. That's the collecting mantra, right? The Tosi collecting mantra? Right. Yeah. So, it's a verse. Well, Shobha is effulgence or something. The word Shobha. It depends what it says. The ending is depends on what usage is it. You know, what according to what tense. There's 10 different tenses in Sanskrit. I'm not a Sanskrit student. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, we picked up a little bit, but still we don't know much. You know, we'll see what Matsya Avatar does. With my students and stuff, my student. I'm giving one of my students to him eventually to be his to training. So we'll have good fun together with that student later on. Yeah, Varada Bhavita Shobhine, right? So it's nice. Shobha is good. Shobha is. Krishna is Shobha. He's effulgent. And his wife and his potencies are Shobha. You know? Ganga, Yamuna, they're all Shobha. Right? They all have potency, they have shininess. Shobha, shining. They're shining. They're effulgent. You know? They're brilliant. And in the material world, we're all dull. Therefore, we need them. We take shelter of them, and they make our lives brilliant. They are brilliant, and they give. Tulsi Rani is also known as Yashashwini. She's Yasha. She possesses fame, and she gives it also. The fame of being what? The fame of being her servant. That's the only fame we want. We want to be known as her servant. We want to be known as her property. Then we'll get Shobha. The more we're servant and servant and servant of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, then... it was described in Gauranga Stavakalpa Vriksha by Raghunath Das, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me that you are the property of Raghunath, of Sarupa, Saurabh Damodar, he said that I became full of ecstasy when Gauranga gave me to Saurabh Damodar, you know, as his property. Because that meant that I'll become successful in devotional life by being his property. The more we're the property of devotees, then the more we feel that we have relationship with Krishna or mercy with Krishna. Tada brithya brithya paricharaka brithya brithya brithasya brithya dimam smara lokanatha. Kula Shekhara says, the best fruit I want in my birth, maj janmana falamidam madukaitabari madapartaniya madanugra isha eva tada brithya brithya paricharaka brithya brithya brithasya brithya dimam smara lokanatha. Please consider me 7 times removed to be the servant of your servant. May this consciousness of yours be my goal of life, he says. How nice. And Narottam Thakur Mahasai says, Chariya Vaishnav Seva Nishtar Payecha Keva. Nobody became crossed to ocean of birth and death without serving devotees. So the more we serve devotees, the more we feel close to Krishna. Also, the more you serve devotees, the more Krishna will arrange that his devotees will help you. This is why, like, taking care of devotees in their while they live or at the time of their death, like that, is a wonderful opportunity, because the more you serve them, the more Krishna will make arrangements that you will also get that same service at the end. You know? It's good. In many ways. They give us Krishna. Yeah. Varada Bhavita Shobhine. Oh Goddess, please show your shining, may your mercy shine and give us our wonderful benediction. What do we want from her? Prema. Huh? Therefore it says, Talosya naparam kinchet daivatama jagatitale yaya pravitrato loko Vishnu sangena Vaishnava. In this world there's nothing higher than her. Of all the worshipful personalities in the universe, because of her, the living entities become purified. She gives the association of her husband, Vishnu, and the whole world turns to Vaikuntha because of her. Vaikuntha is manifested because of her. Therefore, she's Krishna Jivani, the life of Krishna. Huh? She's Yasha, she's very famous, and she's Yashashwini. She gives fame. Dharmya, she's religious. Dharmanana, whose face is the personification of religiosity. How wonderful she is. The more you glorify her, the more you'll be happy. And the more she'll make you happy too, by giving you Krishna. Yeah, so go on. Keep learning about her, thinking about her, chanting. There are 9 aspects of her service, Skanda Purana mentions, which Prabhupada quotes in Nectar Devotion. In his translation there. Basically, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada is quoting it, and Prabhupada is affirming it. Navanga Bhakti, for her. Drishti, by seeing her. Sprishti, by touching her. Tatadhyata, and after that, thinking about her. Kirtita, chanting her glories. Namita, chanting her names. Stuta, offering prayers. Rupita, growing her. Seviti Nityam, doing whatever you have to do for her service. Pujita, and worshipping her. Anyone who does these things lives eternally in the Vaikuntha world. Yugakoti Sahasrani, Teva Santi Harir Grihe. He will stay in the house of Lord Hari for 1,000 million yugas. 1,000 million yugas. Long time, huh? Prabhupada says eternally. 1,000 million yugas. It's easier just to write eternal.
Wow!
Despite that, level number 4, the Lord, he accepted the Lord as his property, and he wouldn't let him go out of his heart. And you're also describing another devotee who had the Lord as his property, and let the Lord go away. So,
what's the difference between those two devotees? Gambira. Very difficult. What's the difference between the two devotees? The Babaji that the Lord wanted to go to Gadayagiri and Bilvamangala Thakur, who the Lord would not leave his heart. I don't know that Babaji personally. You follow me? What his bhajan is personally. Sometimes Babaji's, you don't need a personal deity sometimes. They want you to do Manasa Puja. So sometimes maybe the Lord was not being served properly. And the Lord wanted to give himself to that devotee. But in Viraha from the Lord, that Babaji would have no other recourse either to get another deity. Like it is described, when somebody tried to steal Sonar Gauranga from Jagannath Das, Bihari, take this deity and give it to somebody in Vrindavan. So he went and he gave it to the Chaudhary family there in Vrindavan. Then after about a week, he goes, Bihari, I'm unable to live without a deity. Go get me a deity. You know, so then he went to Radhakund and he found that Sadbhuj Murti in a haystack. And that deity is also there near on the wall, near Nidivan, on the way toward from the Loy Bazaar toward Radharaman temple. And the Lord is there on the left hand side, Sadbhuj Murti. Okay? I'm unable to live without a deity. Bihari, go get another one, So Gaurakishore Das Babaji, look, in his old age this Baba is taking up Archana. What could be the harm there? Bhakti Siddhanta said. If you ask like that, then you have no need for me. You know? Bhakti Gaurakishore was telling him. In this Amara Prabhur Katha, Bhakti Siddhanta describes it. About it. That actually, when they become very old, Harinam should be their ashraya. Some devotees, they had their deity and they kept the Harinam anyway. Like, example of that is Gopal Bhatta, worshipping Radharaman, okay? But in his separation, when he would chant sometimes, he would remember Gauranga. And then Radharaman would manifest himself as Gauranga to pacify him. So, sometimes you need a deity and sometimes the deity will... What's the difference? Evidently, either the Lord knows what each particular devotee needs to bring him to his lotus feet. If separation from that Lord... physical separation of the Lord will make that Lord devotee cry out for Him and thus attain Him, then that's what's needed. And if the other devotee needs the physical deity more for his family, for his puja, then the Lord went there. Externally, you also have to think that maybe the Lord saw that his devotee was not serving Him properly. He doesn't deserve Him. You know? Dangerous. I mean, I just took it as like scary stuff, you know? But when you meditate on it, who am I, a fallen conditioned soul, you know, who probably can't even come up to the mutra of my father? What to speak of, you know, casting a commentary on the quality of bhajan of that Babaji. You follow me? Right? Not going to do that. I should just say the Lord desired to do something to increase His viraha. That Babaji's viraha, so that he will also attain the Lord. Could be that he made some mistakes in his deity worship and the Lord wanted to give himself to another. Could be. I mean, that's what it looks like externally, that it might be that. So we should be scared about that possibility. But ultimately speaking, I'm unable to cast, you know, aspersions on that Babaji, right? The Lord wanted to increase the separation from him. Therefore, he desired to physically separate himself from that Babaji. Maybe it increases prema by, you know, making him cry out for Krishna. Like when Krishna disappeared from the gopis, what did the gopis do to deserve that? We can't say that they were fallen, right? That Krishna, we have no adhikar to say the gopis were fallen. Krishna was, they were proud. Radharani was proud. The gopis were proud. Krishna doesn't want his devotees to be proud, right? So he removed himself to destroy that pride. But at the same time, they were the greatest because even in separation from Krishna, they sung the Gopi Gita, right? So it was great. And then Krishna came back, right? It was just temporary. Now Krishna came back. So then he told also to Uddhava, the message that he gave to Uddhava, to the gopis, was that we are not separated at any time. By chanting my pastimes and thinking about us, we are not separate. Ultimately, deity worship means we have to hear and chant about the Lord and His pastimes and activities. And this will never be separate from the Lord. It's scary business. I think we have to see it from both sides. Maybe the Babaji made a mistake and the Lord gave Himself to another devotee. We should be scared. That's one thing, it's not bad. Two, well, what did the Babaji do? Probably had to just take shelter of the Lord within. Or maybe he got another deity, or who knows. No. Right? There's a distinction. Bhava Mangala, he was a poet. He was blind. And he had the Lord in his heart because of his poetry. I mean, he's writing. Bhava Mangala, his quality, as we'll see later on when Mukunda Dutta finishes the book for the BBT, he gives you some upadesha, some wonderful instruction, and then but he never leaves you from Vrindavan. You're in Vrindavan and he gives you some upadesha, so it's some instruction. So it's, the shloka's got both aspects of it. It's charming. It doesn't leave you from the village of Vrindavan, and yet it gives you some wonderful instruction for your benefit. Each and every shloka has some wonderful instruction and doesn't leave you from Vrindavan. And that's really the sweetness of Bhava Mangala's poetry, you know. Wow, what a wonderful, the more you drink that, the more it's nice. Thanks Gangeshwar. We got two questions out of the whole crew. Wow, what a, I have a bankrupt class today, you know. No more questions. Yeah. Ooh.
Sometimes it is hard to show us the ultimate nature of the deity, how the deity eternal, like Lord Jagannath has so many pastimes.
Right.
Being worshipped by his devotees and passed on, another devotee and passed on. It's not that the deity wants, it's just made material actually, it's eternal.
See, the point of the deity form is eternal. Mentioned in Shastra, right? He manifests himself. I mean, like this form of Jagannath. He eternal in the sense that he's manifested always. He reveals himself to his devotees. He comes. He came by Indraduna Maharaj, right, to give himself to Indraduna Maharaj, right? And since then, he's been with us. Eternal as far as we're concerned. You follow me? But the Lord, His Murti is for the material world, for purifying and drag His devotees out of the material world. It's not that you're going to go back to Goloka and you're going to see the six-eyed form. You follow me? When you go back to Goloka, you may not see this exact form of Jagannath. You follow? But you'll see the real Jagannath, Shamsundar, right? You follow me? But this deity form, made out of wood or marble or other material element, that is for the conditioned souls here. They remain here to purify their devotees. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami Srila, it's still being worshipped. You follow me? Raghunath didn't take it with him when Raghunath left his body and went into his samadhi. Raghunath, it's passed down in parampara. You follow me? The deity stays here to purify other devotees and steal other devotees. You follow? And those devotees, the Lord sends to his abode where they see him constantly. Yam shama sandaram achantya guna surupo. Right? So they're with Krishna, and Krishna stays here to steal. It's described the boat is there. They cross on the boat to the other side of the river. They cross the boat to the other side to transcendence, but the boat remains on this side for us to take. It's described. The boat remains on this side to take. And the boat, the form of the Lord is one of the boats. Shastra is another form. Nam is another form. This is described in the Bhagavatam. I think it's 11th canto, chapter 5. That Rideham Adyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karnadara Mayanukulena Nabashvateratam Puvan Bababjam Nataretsa Atmaha. Human being has this very good form, the form of the human body, which is a suitable boat to cross the ocean of birth and death. And I, as long as you've got a captain of the boat, and I am the favorable winds that blow, to blow the boat across the ocean. Person who doesn't cross, take the human form of light to cross as a killer of his own soul. That's describing the boat as the body, right? But there's so many forms that are described. Glorification of the deity form is also a boat, for the devotees to cross. Like that. There are also descriptions I've seen about the deities. The deities are referred to as boats. Okay. They're eternal. The form is mentioned in the Shastras. That's eternal in that sense. Right? But the whole material world, is the material world eternal? No, it comes and goes, right? Durga is always there. Material energy is always there. Sometimes she's manifest, sometimes she's non-manifest, right? When she's non-manifest, she's wound up in the body of Narayana, within the form of Narayana. And when a time comes, again the Lord expands himself and the material energy comes out, right? So in that sense, the material energy is eternal, but it's manifested or non-manifest. You understand? It's not destroyed. Material energy is not destroyed. The form of the deity can be destroyed materially. That's why they change Navakalevaram. They change the body. When the body becomes not usable after 12 years or something. You follow me? But Jagannath is eternal. The form of the Lord of the universe is eternal. The material body of the deity, they may break. Just like when they fix deities, they'll take the deity out, the life force of the deity, and put it in a clay pot. And then they'll fix the deity, and then they'll call the Lord to come back in the form of the deity. You follow me? Like Navakalevaram. That's as far as my brain can go in answering that question. Is that all right? All right.